All right, hello everyone. We are getting ready to start our next session. My name's Maggie. I am a vice chair on the CME committee, and I will be introducing our next speaker. I just want to remind everyone that you can submit questions on the CVent app, and we will be addressing those at the end of the session. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Zena Nawaz. She's an assistant professor of dermatology at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. She is currently the director of the Transplant Patient Services and the director of the Cosmetic and Laser Department. Please welcome Dr. Nawaz.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. It's my first time in this meeting, and hopefully it'll be something, an annual thing for us. And I'm excited to talk about one of my favorite topics, botulinum toxins. My screen is here. Okay, I have no financial disclosures. And now let's start talking about how they found out about this botulinum toxin, that magical thing that we use. So back in the 1970s, they were using it for the strabismus, and those patients that were getting them, like, all their lines have been disappearing. And those physicians, those brilliant physicians, they were like, bam, here comes the money. So they're going to start using it for the cosmetic reasons. So what is botulinum toxin? It's a protein produced by the bacteria. It's a gram-positive bacilli called Clostridium botulinum, and this is what's responsible for the botulism disease. How does it work? So it basically weakens or even paralyzes the skeletal muscles. The way that it works, that it inhibits the release of the acetylcholine from the nerve towards the muscle. So once the acetylcholine is inhibited, the muscle will no longer be able to contract. So the effects are temporary, usually 3 to 6 months. And it can actually start producing its effect in literally one day, but it usually takes up to 1 to 2 weeks for a full effect. And it's pregnancy category C. And don't use it for patients who have neuromuscular disorders, so it's contraindicated. And people sometimes ask me, like, am I going to get the botulism? No. Even if you have, like, repeated use, basically like me, I get it every 3 to 4 months, and we're doing good. So we can't have the disease. Antibodies. So in dermatology, the units that we use, most of the times we are not going to see any resistance. Usually the resistance happens when really large doses are used, basically in the neurology world. Usually it's more than 300 units used, then the body can start producing antibodies toward the botulinum toxins. So these are the FDA-approved formulations. So the ONO, the ABO, the INCO, and the PRABO. But 2 months ago, now we have this new one, the DEXIFY. So DEXIFY, I think it was only like 2 months ago it was approved by the FDA. And the nice thing about it, that it lasts for 6 months. So those are the FDA-approved indications. So basically, I'm pretty sure most of us know this, but basically for the glabellar lines, the lateral canthal lines, the forehead lines, and for axillary hyperhidrosis. But my talk is going to be for the off-label uses in dermatology. So these are everything that we're going to go over today, which is so exciting. And I'm going to start because we're talking about off-label uses. So if this is what you're going to start using in clinic, please make sure that your consent has some kind of a wording that this is like off-label usage. And the most important thing that I can actually advise you to do is photos. Photos, because after you start injecting the patients, they're going to start looking at their faces more often than what they used to do before their treatment. So photos, and then everything's going to be like, oh, now I have this. I was like, bam, wait, look at the photo. You had that before. So photos are key here. And just to simplify my talk, we're going to talk about a lot of units, but I'm going to use the ONO botulinum toxin, basically the Botox doses, just to make it simple. Okay, so to get really beautiful, elegant results, and really beautiful functional results, we have to understand the anatomy. We need to know this. This is key. And everything we're going to go over today, we're going to go back to the basic anatomy. This is one of my favorite photos that I actually have in clinic, and we go over it with the residents every single time before we start injecting. First one, eyebrow lifting. Okay, one of my favorites. I have it here. Like this is, I usually, my eyebrows is not like that. Beautiful. So what it does, it just, it like opens up the eyes. It gives us a more youthful look. And here the key is we're going to target two different areas. So there's two areas that is basically depressing down on the eyebrow. For the medial part is the glabella, so the procerus and the corrugators. For the lateral side, we're going to talk about the orbicularis. So we have to inject both areas to have a beautiful lift medially and laterally. Okay, so now the target. So I'll start with, there's so many techniques, there's so many ways. I'll show you some of the things that are published in our literature, but I'll also tell you about what I am doing in clinic and my humble 2 years experience, what really works for me. So this is like targeting now the lateral side here in the photo. And I'll, 1 second, the pointer. Okay. So in this study, they, and I'm sorry that I have the pointer just in one side, so I'll do it in both. I'll alternate. So at least in this photo here, we have 4 injection points in the lateral side of the orbicularis. So do I do this every single time? No. My way is really, I look at the patient. I ask them to give me like a really big smile. And then I see like how their lines are going. If it's something simple, like let's say a young 30, 40 year old lady, then yes, I stick with like one row there. Usually I do like 3 injection sites. But now, like we go like 50 or 60 year old ladies or men, they usually have like, if they don't have Botox regularly, the crow's feet are going to be a bit much longer. And by the anatomy, like the orbicularis oculi is actually a really thick muscle. It goes really up to like maybe mid-temple. So you can inject a little bit further out. So I do 2 rows for these like older people. So I do, my first row here is usually 2 units, usually, and then the other row is usually 1 unit. 1 unit, and it, you have to keep it superficial. And really the way I do it is basically it's more intradermal more than intramuscular. And it has a lot of benefits. I will say the intradermal, it hurts. So you can also use some techniques to decrease the pain. I'll tell you, I absolutely hate pain myself. I hate needles, absolutely hate it. So I'm always like trying to learn ways to make it more comfortable for the patients. I'll tell you one thing that I use. I call it the oscillator. And I think I saw Dr. Rosen. How are you? So Dr. Rosen knows my way. I have what I call an oscillator. It's basically from Amazon. Again, no financial disclosure here. But it's on Amazon. It's called the facial massager. It basically vibrates. And I use the term oscillator to keep it really nice and professional. And it works like a charm, really seriously. The way I do it, you can put it anywhere on the face. So I have my medical assistant. We're usually close to the area that I'm injecting. So if I'm doing like the crow's feet here, usually I ask her to put it on the forehead area. Again, just I'm saying that because the intradermal injection are really painful. The other reason why I liked the intradermal injection is it's going to help with the overall texture of the skin. It really helps with the pores, the oiliness of the ear. And we're going to talk about it more later. But make sure, again, to be very superficial. I'll tell you, when I was a resident, I had the other resident inject me, and they were a bit deep. And they used, like, I think it was 2 units. I'll tell you, I looked absolutely beautiful, if I may say. But I couldn't smile. They went, like, it went down to all the other muscles that we really don't want to inject. So, again, small amounts there and very, very superficial. So this is what I do for the crow's feet area. Now, other areas that you can also lift, depending on the patient's face, is look at the eyebrows, the tail of the eyebrow. If you feel it's really droopy, I actually, midway of the tail of the eyebrow, I just put maybe 0.5 or 1 unit, and bam, it gives you a beautiful lift. That's how I have like this arch. I usually don't have an arch. So it works beautifully. Now, this, I know it's not a beautiful photo here, but it works. It works. This is the best one that I could find for the glabellar area. So here, let me tell you things that I learned, again, during my humble 2 years experience. So for the glabella, when you're going to, when you're going to inject the procerus, so you're going to ask the patient to frown. Like, I'm like, give me an angry face. And some people can't do it. So you're like, okay, think about somebody who you don't like. And there you go, boom. Okay, perfect. We got it. The procerus, once you see it, you're going to inject the inferior portion of it. Inferior. Again, I'll tell you why. The superior part of the procerus, it's actually attached to the frontalis. So if you inject high up that you're getting that frontalis, you're losing everything we're trying to achieve, which is basically the lifting, because the frontalis is really what's lifting everything up. So I do not want to touch the frontalis in this area, so I'm injecting inferior to the procerus. So that's the first key that I've learned. It was beautiful. Now, going to the corrugators. So what I learned, this medial portion, basically that body of the corrugator, we used to inject, and I don't know how you guys do it, but we used to inject really higher than the eyebrow, like the hairs. I'll tell you, try to inject really in the hairline, like very medial, like literally there. I'll tell you, you're there. You're on the money when you do that. I was surprised, but it makes sense once I started understanding the anatomy a little bit more. So in this area, we always say, oh, we're getting corrugator. We're not only getting corrugator, there's also the depressor supercilii, a beautiful, tiny, tiny muscle that's really also doing all like the, it depressing the eyelid. So it, once you inject in this area, again in the hairline, you're not only getting the corrugator, but you're also getting the depressor supercilii, and we're getting some of the orbicularis oculi. So we always teach people that this is the corrugator. No, there's like three different muscles in this area. So, and the way that I go in, I'm basically halfway in the needle. I don't know why in my training we usually hub it. You don't need to. So even the procerus going back to here, like my needle is like halfway in. So it's deep, but not that deep. Again, I'm trying to not get to the frontalis. And here also I'm in the middle. Now, the tail of the corrugator. This is also very important to know where you're going to inject. So you're going to be always medial to the mid-pupillary line. I don't care if you tell me, like, hey, we see the lines going all the way. No, and I'll show you why you're not going to do that. But basically, again, medial to the mid-pupillary line, and I'm maybe like quarter of the way of the needle I go in. So it's because the tail is usually a bit more superficial than the body of the corrugator. So this is where I do it. Beautiful results. And now I'll tell you, like, okay, my husband has the worst frowning. Oh my God, he's happy, he's frowning. He's sad, he's frowning. I was like, oh my God. So one time I forced him to do Botox. I literally did force him. And I used to do a lot of units for him. And I used to maybe like, I was like a total of 15 per unit. And I didn't get it because I used to inject really high up where you will see like the majority of the movement. But now I only do 4 units here, 2 units here for my husband, and he's here, so maybe you see him. He's due for Botox, so you'll see his frowning. So at 4 and 2, and you will get it because you're literally injecting the right muscle. So the way that I used to do it before, really high up, I'll be just waiting on whatever, like the small amount that will diffuse down to the right muscle. So try that, and I think you're going to be happy with the results. Okay. And this is from this one of the studies, so you can see the lifting from medial and the lateral side for these two beautiful patients. And this is, I put like a summary of so many cases out there that talks about this, like eyebrow lifting. But the what I told you is really what I use myself, and it really works every time, no fail. Now that I say that, I'm like, fingers crossed, right? Okay, so now, so look at this photo. What happened here? So really, what we did is we caused an eyelid ptosis. And why that happened is because we got the levator palpebrae superioris. So this what happens. Basically, if you are lateral to the mid-pupillary line, or you put a huge amount, like I would say by huge, I think I would consider maybe more than 4 units a little, but that's me again. I want to put more than 4 units. And sometimes if I think the patient needs more than 4 units, basically what I would do is for the corrugator, I will split it. So I'm like in 2 in each injection point just to make sure I'm not going to cause the ptosis. The way that I do it, I'm very, very safe. And I'll tell the patient, I'd rather this not work and you come back in 2 weeks and I'll add more than you living and hating me for the next 3 to 4 months. But the good thing is, like if we get it, if that happened to you, there are some medication that we can use. So this is like an eye drop. The apraclonidine is the most common one. And the way that it works basically is trying to stimulate the other muscles just to try to take over. And I think it's just going to open up the eye by maybe 1 or 2 millimeters. So, okay, like nice results, but hopefully by you staying medial to it, you're not even going to get to this. Okay. So now this is the other one also around the eyes. What a lot of people say, the jelly roll. Be careful of which patients you're going to choose to do it on. Really for these patients, I really hardly ever do it. But if I'm going to pick a patient, it's going to be a patient who has orbicularis oculi or like really like meaty, like there's a lot of it there. And sometimes because there's a lot of it there, it's actually closing a little bit of the eye. So again, going back to my training, I was like excited. I was like, oh my God, it's going to open my eye. Let's do it. I look terrible because I don't even have an orbicularis oculi that was strong there. So it looked so flat. You can see wrinkles when I was in my 20s. I was like, damn it, why did I do it? So just choose the right patients for this. And if you're going to do it, you're going to be very superficial and you don't need too much. Maybe if you're going to start with it, just like maybe 1/2 a unit. If it's really, really strong, then okay, sure, go 1 unit, but don't do more than that. Don't do more than that. You don't need more than that. And it will just open up the eye again for the right patient. Now the gummy smile. Okay, this is my favorite. This is really, really awesome. So, okay, a lot of words in here. Let's go to the beautiful photos here. So the gummy smile, what we're targeting here is the levator labii superioris aliquinesii. This one of the smallest muscles that we have in our bodies that has the longest name. Goodness gracious. So this is what we're targeting. And there is, again, multiple ways to do it. What I do is I just do 1 injection point. And my injection point is just lateral to the nasal ala. So we're on the apex of the nasal labial fold. I use 2 units. I never use more than that, even when like I have like patients who have like a really beautiful gummy smile. I still do like 2 units and you will get really beautiful results. And this is the deep injection. So you're going to go for it. Okay, we're not going to go to the teeth, but you're going to go in. You're going to go in and it hurts. It hurts and patients usually are like tearing up after I'm done. So usually anything around the mouth is usually my last injections because the patients are not going to like me after this. Even though we're using our oscillator, but it still hurts. Now, side effects with this, and you can see it, I think, on this photo. It effaces the nasolabial fold. Like it just makes it a bit not as pronounced. Sometimes it's a good thing for a patient. Sometimes it's not that obvious. And then other side effects is it reduces the periocular wrinkles. It just diffuses to the other muscle. And I say this just because I think it's always a great thing. Like it's not really a side effect. But now also you need to be very careful on the patients that you're going to choose. I don't do it if a patient is more than 45. Maybe 50. Let's put it 50 because I'm close to that. Kinda. So the older the patients get, the upper cutaneous lip elongates. And once you do this in injection, it's going to elongate it even more. And sometimes that's really an aging sign. So I will do it if it's a younger patient, but if an older patient really wants to do it, I'll just explain to them what they're going to look like. And so far, everybody told me, oh, like, no, let's just forget about it. So, but that's something to really, like, important to keep in mind, like, when to do it and when not to do it. Okay. This is another injection technique. I don't really use this technique, but it's like three injections, points on each side. And they're using two units on each side. I think it's too much, but obviously it works. Obviously it works. But just know that you can do it like in these, and one of them is just like under the nose there. I think like if the patient has, young, and has a really big gummy smile, I think it's something to consider. But if I'm going to do it, my humble experience, I'll just do one unit, not two. But you can. Okay. And this is, again, just like a summary of everything out there so far about like gummy smiles and how many units the people use there. But two units, I think you'll be happy with it. Okay. Bunny lines. Oh, my God. I think it's so cute, those bunny lines. But I'll say I don't like mine. Okay. So this is something, I'll be honest, I literally just learned the magic here. So we used to do, when it's the nasalis, like, bam, just go to the nasalis. Basically, the sidewall of the nose, you'll get it done. No. So I have really strong bunny lines, but you can see mine. They're not as strong. Okay. I don't think you can see me that well. But... So the key is not only you're going to get the nasalis, but you're going to also target the medial side of the orbicularis oculi. Once I add one unit in my eye, and I do my own Botox in my bathroom, which I shouldn't have said that, but it was awesome. It is awesome. Like, this is it. So not only the nasal. So if you're really targeting bunny lines, make sure you're also getting the orbicularis oculi. Now, remember I said I do not like the one, that jelly roll technique. This really doesn't do much. If, in fact, like now when I have my concealer on, you're not even going to see all my lines there. It just makes it so smooth. I use only 0.5 to 1 units in the orbicularis oculi. You really don't need. And I say 0.5 to 1, because I won't lie, it's just hard to put 0.5. I think we're closer to 1 when we're saying 0.5. But anything in between that, you're going to get beautiful, beautiful results. So again, two muscles that we're going to target to get the bunny lines gone. Okay, so now other key things to remember. So, going back to this photo was also talking about also injecting the procerus. I think it also, like, everything really plays a role. I always, when I'm doing mine or my patients, we're usually always targeting the glabella area. So, but I think, like, just if the patient tells you, I only want my bunny lines treated, just make sure you're getting the procerus, because everything will have an effect on the bunny lines there. Okay, so important thing to remember for this injection is you have to be higher on the nasal sidewall. If you go lower, we're going to target the ones that we're trying for the gummy lines muscle, the LLSN. So just make, if you go down, and it actually happened where I was actually observing in a different program. And I was with a Mohs surgeon, a dermatologist came in, and they were like, hey, we did a bunny lines a week ago, and now the patient can't smile. And I was like, bam, that's the muscle. So it diffuses there. So just make sure you're superficial with that injection of the bunny line and not too low. And I always, always, always ask the patients to make those faces. So I'm not just like injecting. I was like, show me the bunny line, show me this, show me that, and then I know exactly where to inject. And this is, again, the summary. There's not too many studies about the bunny lines there. Okay, the nasal tip lift. I really don't do it that often, but it's nice to know about it. So the tip of the nose, I think when it's like pointy, it will give you a very nice youthful look. Some patients now, or some people are now doing the fillers in the tip of the nose just to give that lift. So basically here, what we're targeting is the depressor septinae CI muscle. This is actually the muscle that during rhinoplasty, they cut it. So just it lifts that nose. So now we're giving a non-surgical nasal lift with this. So so the injections here, you can, I usually do two, and I say usually, I don't really do it often. I might have done it once or twice, that's it. Again, one injection point, and you're gonna be deep here. We're gonna go deep. Now, this is what it's gonna look like. And this is one of the worst pain those patients will experience when it comes to Botox. It's terrible. So what you will do, you're gonna pinch the columella, pull it up, just again as a distracting to the nerve, and you're just gonna go in straight, you're gonna go deep, you're gonna inject it really quickly, and you're gonna go out, and the patient is not gonna like us, but hey, but then they will like us after 2 weeks when they see that the tip goes up. But this is basically, and the patients are usually, when I inject the patients, they're usually sitting up for me, like a 90 degrees, but for this one, I might just ask them to lay a little bit flat, so again, one part of it is because it's also painful. Okay, and now for this one. So when we inject this muscle, what happens, like why we get that in the tip elevation is because the nasalis muscle takes over and pulls it up. So if you're gonna do it, the Botox, make sure you're not injecting nasalis. If you inject nasalis, you're not gonna see any effects. So just keep that in mind. Again, these are like also like a summary of studies, like with the doses and the injection points. Okay, vertical perioral wrinkles or the smoker lines or any of these lines. So I'm actually very careful when I do it. And now I will be honest, I haven't done it maybe for a year after I started at Baylor, just because I was always worried about it. So we can get into trouble here. Again, patient will look amazing. But I'll tell you some of the things that I've heard personally. So when I tell my patients, once we do it, you won't be able to drink from a straw. Okay, and they're like, oh, fine, I don't even drink from a straw. The patient comes back, she's like, I couldn't even drink from a cup. I was like, damn it. So just be careful with this. I'll tell you a few things that I would do now, and I feel more comfortable with it. So this is like, again, one injection technique. I don't do this one. So when you're going to do it, you're going to be extremely superficial, like basically like mosquito bites. That's the only thing. And you're going to be very gentle with your dosing. There is a patient that it just pushes me to do too many units. I was like, no and a no. We're only going to do 0.5 in each injection points. If you're not happy, I'll see you back in 2 weeks. She was happy with only 0.5. So 0.5 really works. And the way that I like, so this is another injection technique here. This is my way. I like to do upper and the lower lip. Basically, the upper lip is what you see on Instagram and whatever. Like it's the flip lip. Flip lip is usually when we are injecting the top part. But make sure also to tell the patient that even the letter O sometimes is terrible. And this lady who told me she couldn't drink from a cup, she told me she needed like 2 weeks to adjust her muscle to be able to drink from a cup. So, and one patient, not my patient, like also told me like her experience, like she was drooling. I'm like, this is terrible. So yes, they will look great, but it's not functional. But making it functional is you're going to, again, very small amount. This is the way that I like to do. Oh, sorry. I'm actually on the vermilion border, maybe 1 millimeter on top of the vermilion border. I do 2 injection points here. I never do more than 2. And again, 0.5 to 1, very, very superficial. The lower lip, this is my go-to, but sometimes I add another one if I feel the patient needs it. So I always tell my residents, botulinum toxin, it's not a cookie cutter. And I hate all of those leaflets that, hey, like, this is how you're going to do it. No, it's not. Every forehead is different. Every eye is different. Every patient is different. So we're going to look at the patient. We're going to ask them to move and see what they really need. And we're going to adjust it to that particular individual. So, but this is my general rule here. And another really important thing to remember is you're going to stay 5 millimeters from the oral commissure, because we don't want to hit any of the other muscles that are actually helping with us with our smile. And we'll go to those in a few minutes. Okay, DO, or depressor anguli oris. Favorite injection. How many times did I say favorite? But I love this injection. Love it, love it. So this injection, basically, we're trying to elevate the corner of the mouth. Now, I did hear from one dermatologist that there had a patient that they did the injection and the patient had what looked like a Joker smile. So be careful. If the patient does not have any like the downwards movement of the corner of the mouth, don't do it. Don't do it. Just be careful. It will maybe it will pull up a little bit more. I'm just telling you about things that I've learned during those years that I've been in training. Okay. So the pearl here is, again, this is one of the most important ones to ask the patient to frown. So a lot of our books will tell you, okay, just go 5 millimeters from the oral commissure and then one thumb downwards. Other ones that sometimes I use is if the patient doesn't have a marionette line, I actually push the cheek so I can see where their marionette line is. And I will go 1 centimeter lateral and 1 centimeter on top. And I'll tell you why, for some reason, and maybe you've experienced this, I'll ask the patient, hey, grimace, give me a sad face, give frown. They're like, no, nothing. They couldn't do it. So that's when I go and just do my, I look at the marionette line and just see other anatomical locations. But if the patient can make that frowning, perfect. You're going to feel it. You're going to figure, and remember that it looks like a triangle, I'm sorry. Look, the two buttons are similar. That's why I keep pushing it, the wrong one. Okay, so remember, this muscle is like a triangular muscle. And the way to inject this muscle is, once you figure out where it is, you're going to go to the posterior portion of it. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to prevent the botulinum toxin to diffuse to the nearby muscle. The most important one is the DLI, or the depressor labii inferioris. And look how close they are. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I will say, this is one of the injections that I haven't done for the longest. Now I feel comfortable with it. But this is an injection. If you don't do it right, you're going to give your patients a look like they have a stroke. So just make sure you're going to really figure out where the DEO is, so you're not diffusing it in the DLI. Okay. So, and just make sure, it's almost always lateral to the commissure. So if you're medial to the oral commissure, know that there's a good chance you're going to drop the corner of the mouth. And this is also one of the deep injections. I usually go third or half of my needle in, and I go a bit lateral. I don't go straight. I'm just my needle is going laterally, again, just to prevent diffusing to the DLI. Okay, again, this is a summary of that. So dimple chin, also beautiful. So here we're trying to target the mentalis muscle. And why we're doing it, here in this study, we're talking about the dimpled or the podgerange or the golf ball appearance. I've actually heard other terms that I won't recommend, but in the dermatology, they were saying scrotum chin. I was like, damn, no, don't do it. But once you say scrotum chin to the muscle, to the patient, they're like, treat it now. And there's so many ways to do it. Usually in our literature, you can either do one injection point just literally in the center. I usually do that for my women patients. For men who usually have stronger muscles, I like to separate it in 2 injection points. Now, there are so many, if a patient have a really strong mentalis, go for it. Do 4 injection points. But you're going to know where you're going to inject. So we're going to be very close to the midline. So I go just 5 millimeters from the midline. Once you go more lateral than that, you might hit the DLI. Again, that stroke-looking face. So let's not do that. So we're going to just be a little bit more medial. And again, this muscle, you're going to go to the bone. Like you're going to just hop the needle. You're going to go all the way in. I usually do like maybe 4 units. And if I'm going to separate, I just do 4 and 4. Sometimes if it's strong, I go like a little bit higher, like 3 in each or like 6 at like 1 injection point. Okay. And again, another summary of the literature out there for this. And this is another like way to do it, like 3, just literally like all across. Again, it depends on that chin. Just we'll look at the chin and we'll figure it out. And I'll tell you like another, I didn't put it here in my slides, but I also recently learned this. If the patients have like a very small chin, you can actually put that botulinum toxin really deep, like really, really deep. Not only it relaxes it, but once it's relaxed, it actually goes down. So it just elongates it ever so slightly, nothing major, but it's like a nice effect. Okay, platysmal bands. So here we're trying, again, just to soften the look of the neck. And here, there's, again, so many techniques, so many units, but I'm going to give you the key so you are very safe when you're doing it. So, again, depending on the neck. See, like, I can't just tell you, like, 3 or 5. Like, some people have, like, a really long neck, and some people have, like, a cute short neck. So we're going to figure out, like, how tall the neck is, and then we'll figure out how much units we're going to put. So roughly, like 3 to 5 injection sites. I usually go like 1 to 2 centimeters apart. And I don't do more than 2 units at each injection site, period. So in each band, do not do more than 10 units. And you're going to be a bit superficial. So the muscle is superficial. You don't really need to go deep. And the way to do it is actually, again, ask the patient to grimace. You can see mine. I'm again due for the Botox here. So you'll see it. You'll pinch it between your 2 fingers. You'll lift it, and then you can start injecting. Now, if you put too much, this is terrible. And one of my patients, again, had this injection in a different place. They did 300 units in the neck. I'm like, wait, what? So couldn't move her neck. Couldn't, like, it was like a floppy head. I'm like, oh, my Lord. So not more than 2 units in each band. What happens when you put more than that, it can start diffusing to the other muscles in the neck. And there's so many. There's even like for the esophagus, so they can start having swallowing difficulties, hoarseness of their voices, and then the floppy head. We don't want floppy heads. So this is how I like to do it. Now, I put this in here because, again, this Instagram thing, there's so many out there, but I want you to know what really technically Nefertiti neck lift is. So this is a combination of multiple things that we talked about. So, and what we're trying to do is to get this Queen Nefertiti chiseled jawline. It is beautiful, I will say. And here what we're trying to target, the DEO, and now we know how to do it. Again, remember the posterior portion of the DEO. And then the anterior and the posterior platysmal band, and just inferior to the mandibular ramus. This, just inferior to mandibular ramus, this is basically the apex of the anterior platysmal band. And these are all the injection points. So I'm going to go to this screen here. So what I usually start doing is I do my 2 units for the DEO or whatever I need, 2, 3, or maybe I usually don't go more than 3 units here. And then I figure out where the anterior platysma and put 1 here. And then I figure out where is the posterior one. I put 1 there and then 2 in between these 2. And then I start going down to the platysma, to platysmal band. So when I do a Nefertiti lift, like, so there's like a lot here, I'm not just targeting the platysmal band, I always make sure that I'm not going more than 18 to 20 units per site. Again, for the same reasons that we just talked about. So this is basically what we're doing to get a Nefertiti lift. And I will say that thing works. It's really beautiful. Okay, again, another summary here. Now, the other fun part for me, so I do also Mohs surgery, and I've been incorporating my cosmetic background to my surgery. So I use this not quite often. I will say, like, a lot of patients, when I tell them, like, hey, like, I'm going to try my best to give you the best outcomes I can with my suturing, but we can also add a touch of Botox there And we have a lot of data to support that the healing will be much nicer. So I'm going to go over some of the studies. I'll say the patients who are 70 and 80, they're like, we don't care. Just get the cancer out. But younger than that, a lot of them would love to do that. And I do it and really the results are beautiful. Maybe I'm also a good surgeon. No, just kidding. So the way that it works, it's also two things. So we're trying to make the muscles in that area just to relax a bit. So there's not constant trauma to the scar line. But at the same time, there is now some data to support that it also works on a cellular level. So all of the factors that causes more collagen and more scar formation, all of that down-regulates with the Botox. There are good amount of data to support using it. And a lot of them say like between 15 units, like 15, maybe a bit plus or minus. But it depends on the length of the scar. And now let me tell you also one thing. So my daughter, who was 2.5 years old, she got sutured on her forehead and it killed my heart. I'm like, no. So, and of course we were in Chicago. I wasn't back home, so I couldn't suture her. We went to the ER. They're like, we're going to put like glue. I was like, no glue. Basically, they put this stupid glue. I hate it. So went back to Houston. I removed the glue when we sutured her. And the following day, I did Botox. I was like, I'm going to be a good mom who's a dermatologist. I'm not going to see this scar. And I think it would have been beautiful other than like 2 days after I removed her suture, bumped her head again and reopened the whole thing. Killed my heart. I still see this scar every single day. I tried to laser her one day. It went bad. It went so bad. Oh my goodness. Okay. So, but I just saying that I truly believe in it. Okay. And then it just shows like significant improvement after we use it. And most of the study were really on the face and neck when they did it. These are a lot of the studies that shows this with all the amount, like basically we're talking about like 15 to 20 units around the scar. And this is one of the ones that were published. And the Botox that they do it is like 24 hours, like in 24 hours after the suturing. When I do it is I just do it on like right after I'm done with the surgery. And I will say like my first patient, I was worried. I was like, oh my God, like the patient is very swollen from all the numbing medicine. Is it okay to put like botulinum toxin there or is it going to start diffusing with the swelling? So my first patient, I was like, hey, forget it. I'll do it on your suture removal because I was worried. But then from there, I was like, you know what? Let's try it. And it works. I was worried about just the, the diffusion, but I guess it works and the scar looks beautiful. This is the patient, also the same study. This was the placebo one, and it was the same surgeon, a very similar location on the forehead. And you can see the scar here, but you couldn't see it on the first photo. Now, for the keloids and hypertrophic scars, do I personally use it? No. I'm not that excited about, but we just need to know that it helps. It helps more with the symptoms. It just makes it a bit less itchy. It's a bit less painful to inject compared to our intralesional canalog. But it doesn't really smooth it out too much. So if the patient is like, hey, try it all, like, okay, maybe put it there. But it's not going to be my go-to if I have a keloid patient. Like for keloids, really off topic, I absolutely love pulse dye laser in combination with ILK, or you can also add the 5-fluorouracil if it's really stubborn. So I'll use those before I think about Botox. But basically, there's a lot of now ongoing research about it. Maybe they just needed a little bit extra units. So we'll see. So maybe in the future, we'll have nicer results. So this is the way that they do it for this patient is they did 5 units of botulinum toxin. They did it every 8 weeks for 3 sessions. And this is the 7-month follow-up. I'm like, we can get this better with our other modalities. But again, patient was happy symptoms-wise. Now, okay, Okay, so you remember when we talked about the intradermal injection? I'll be honest, I didn't really know much about this, but I've recently noticed it on my patients. Like the patient that I've been doing the intradermal injections, I was like, wow, you look amazing. I was like, did you do any Fraxel laser? Did you do like, or resurfacing or peels? They're like, no, we're just doing the botulinum toxin. Okay, they don't say botulinum toxin, they will say Botox. But they look amazing. But now we have data to support that the oily, like it helps with the oiliness, so the sebum production. And when that is reduced, the pore size is reduced. So this is beautiful. So just remember, like intradermal injections where you can place it. Of course, not DO or anything like that. But the superficial injection, just remember the intradermal ones. So I really do it for the forehead areas and crow's feet are all like intradermal for me. And then they have like really nice studies about it. And they use this sebum production instrument. And it showed like, hey, it really does help. And we don't know why exactly. We think like the hypothesis, like it works on the erector pili muscles and the sebaceous glands there. And they use this again, the sebometer, And then it shows, it's not that obvious on this photo here, but basically the sebum production did reduce. So again, something like an added bonus for the patients that you're injecting them. And again, these are the really nice studies about this. Now, rosacea, I think this is fun. Like, I've never used it for rosacea, but just know that you can do it. Like, if we are desperate, if, let's say, my pulse dilator, the IPL, all the topical medication is really not doing the trick for me, I think it's something that I'm going to consider now. The way that they do it is just like 8 to 12 units, and absolutely this is going to be intradermal. Like, we are not going to inject all these muscles and give them, like, asymmetric smiles, these patients. So, and the studies here, like, it shows, like, after 1 week, they start decreasing the flushing, the erythema, and all that inflammation. Sometimes they get those acne-looking pimples. And it lasted for 3 months. And again, those are all the summary for these studies for rosacea. So this is a photo. You can see like really nice improvement. Just botulinum toxin. I think this is really nice. I think this is what I would get after I do like a laser treatment. So this is a nice conjunction maybe with other modalities. Now talking about the contouring here. So first one we're going to talk about is the face. I don't like to do this because I think, oh, women, you with really beautiful jaw, you guys are gorgeous. I don't know why you want to change it. You look beautiful. But the patients that do not like it, we do have the treatment for it. We can do it. Basically, we're trying to target the masseter muscle. And usually it happens either like patients are born like that. Those are the lucky ones, in my opinion. But then there's the people who clench a lot their jaw. They can cause hypertrophy for that muscle. So the way to do it, again, multiple ways. My go-to is like 3 injection points. But if it's like really large, go up to 5. And this, remember what you are going to be deep. Like the mast, we're going to go deep. So what I usually do is hub the needle. Basically, I'm literally on the bone. And then I just go maybe 1 millimeter out. And then I can start injecting just to make the injection go a bit smoother. And usually for women, you're going to need between 20 to 30 units per site. So this is way more than what we do for TMJ. Usually my TMJ usually do like maybe 12 to 15. So this, like, to really cause some atrophy of the muscle, you need more units. Men, again, usually have stronger muscles. So we're going to need maybe 25 to 40 units depending on how strong that muscle is. And now for this. So some people will come to you like after 2 weeks or like, hey, we know botulinum toxin needs 2 weeks. Hey, my face is still like I have a sharp jaw. You're going to be like, wait. We're going to wait a total of at least a month to a month and a half before we start figuring out, do we need to do more? Because this is a very strong muscle. It's just going to need a bit longer to really get the benefits. Okay, now calf contouring. I don't know why. I'm like, I work so hard for my calves. But again, if it's really large, and a lot of the Asian lady like really likes the slimmer. So most of the studies about actually all the contouring is like Asian studies. So multiple ways to do it. And the studies that I research, there is one that has like 48 points, the other one has 10 points. But basically, you're going to ask the patient to, or basically you're going to see their muscles, and you can just do a lot of injection points, like up to 48, at least in this study, and you can go up to like 100 units per calf. So, nice improvement. And most of the injection, I would say that they put it in the middle, I guess because this is where people want it a bit smoother. I will kill for the first photo. But, okay, last one that we're going to talk about is the shoulder contouring. So this is when we're targeting the trapezius muscle. I will say I'm considering doing it to myself, not because I have trapezius muscle hypertrophy. It's because with the constant movement, I'm sure you all too, like you're going to start getting a lot of pain, and this really helps. Never tried it myself, so I can't tell you personal experience, but something I'm considering. You can inject like 1.5 to 2 centimeter interval across the shoulder, and I'll show you a photo, and it just relaxes the muscle. So this is how the way that you can do it there, and you can see also from the photos how it just like relaxes it and it looks a bit smoother. But to me, the most important will be like the pain. And this is really about it for all the off-label uses of botulinum toxins. I love this photo. Oh, thank you all. Yes, ma'am. Most of the studies is like 15 units, but always remember, it's just like the length of the scar. The way I do it is like 2 units, and I'm like 1 centimeter away. Yeah.
And we do have some questions that came through the app, so
yes.
Get started. So can you inject Botox in a breastfeeding patient?
I will tell you, I've had it done myself. So I'm like, as soon as I gave birth, I was like, Botox now. So I would say, like, if really the patients are telling me, personally, I would say no, but it is safe. It is safe. It's not going to go to the milk. It's really localized. But I wouldn't do it. I'll be careful. But can you?
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. Yes.
What depth is Botox injected for surgical scars?
Oh, not too deep, because I'm really like, I just want the scar to, for the scar, the relaxation of the scar itself. So I'm really not really targeting the muscle underneath it. So I say really superficial. So maybe just the tip of my needle is in.
Okay. Does the DAO injection help with jowls?
With the jowls?
Mm-hmm.
Technically it should, but I don't really see like huge improvements with the jowling. I love the DO injection with people, like the younger people, to try to help with the marionette line. And when you help with that, you're helping with the jowling. So I will do it. I will tell the patients you will see minimal improvements, but nothing drastic, unfortunately.
Are there any topicals you would want to avoid after Botox for rosacea?
Rosacea? Oh, that's an interesting question about rosacea. I would say I'm not sure about rosacea. They didn't mention it in the papers, at least that I read. But I would say go for it. Just put all your, like, the creams that you usually use. Like, there is no harm in it at all. Like, you're really not disturbing the epidermal dermal junction. So go for it. It's just, like, where the injection points, and most likely it's going to be healed by the time you go home or basically closed, so I wouldn't worry about it. I will go back home and put my, or I'll be in my bathroom doing my Botox, I'll put my Retin-A and go to bed. But I will say, do not do that. Really what I usually tell my patients, the right thing to do is after you do the injections, you will tell the patient, use all these muscles for 1 hour. So I'm like, when you're driving home, you're looking like a crazy person, like frown and smile and like a sad face and whatever for 1 hour. And then for the next 4 hours, you're not rubbing on your face, so don't put Retin-A. And no exercising and no laying down. That's technically what we should tell our patients. That's what I do, I promise.
Have you used Botox in any inflammatory conditions?
Inflammatory condition. Oh, that's exciting. I haven't. And I haven't read anything about it either. I don't know, but it's an interesting thought. I will say I'm in a... in a committee for the academic cosmetic dermatologists. So we're always looking for ways to improve inflammatory. But so far, most of our discussions are actually lasers. But maybe something for me to consider and discuss with the team. Thank you.
Do you use a 3-to-1 Dysport to Botox, or do you treat it just like Botox?
So technically, it's 3-to-1. I make it simple for our medical assistant. I was like, just do the same thing as we do for the Botox. So anywhere, it should be 2.5. I usually put 2.7 because I feel like this, like there's 0.2 that are wasted because I want 2.5 to be in my vial. So the way I do it is 2.7 for both.
And how many units per side for trapezius relaxation?
You can go for it. It really depends on each. You know what? I should have mentioned that there. But anywhere between like 2 to 4 units in each injection points.
Okay. Do you use Botox injection for facial flap scars or just linear scars?
I've never used it for the flaps. I've never. I'll tell you like why in my opinion. Because like when I'm doing a flap, I'm like stressed out. It's like not our easy thing when we're doing it. So I'm not really thinking about Botox then. But can you use it? Absolutely. Because again, it goes back to the cellular level, but I've never used it personally, but maybe I should. Yeah.
Could you try Microtox for rhinophimitis rosacea?
Can you? You know what? I love that thought. Honestly, I have never used it. I haven't read about it. But it's actually a beautiful thought. So whoever has that idea, let's look it up and write it up.
Good question, guys. Does weakening the masseter worsen jowls?
It can. Absolutely, it can. Yes. Because the jowl, like the reason why we start getting the jowl is because we're starting to lose the bone, unfortunately. So the masseter is also sitting on that bone and having the support for our skin. So once that gets atrophied, like, yes, for sure. That's a really great question, actually. Yes.
One more question here. It says, can you discuss mixing protocol?
Can I? I'm sorry?
Mix, like, dilutions.
The dilution? So I use bacteriostatic normal saline, and I use the 2.7 for the 100-unit Botox or 300-unit Dysport.
Do you reconstitute with 1 ml? And what are your thoughts about reconstituting with 1?
With 1 ml?
Versus 2.5.
Oh, I've never done it to make it really, really concentrated. I usually go by the book. I was like 2.5, then I do 2.5. I even with the fillers, I don't dilute anything. I go by the books. Yeah, but some people do.
All right. Yeah. Any other last minute questions? All right, well, that's all we have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. This was so fun. I appreciate you. Thank you.
We'll be back here at 3:00 with advanced non-invasive skin tightening procedures.